Hi, this is Eli Nelson, and this is the My City Church Podcast. Thanks for tuning in today. It is our prayer that this message will awaken you to come alive in the things of Christ. Enjoy the message.
Doing good? Good. It's great to be in the house of God on this amazing Palm Sunday. Come on, next week is Easter. Resurrection Sunday. I'm happy to be in the house of God today and be able to share the word with you this morning. How many of y'all have your Bibles today? Let me see them. Come on, lift up your Bible. If it's on your phone, go ahead, lift up your phone. Come on. You haven't been holding up that long. You can keep it up. There you go. Say, this is my Bible. Say, God speaks through the word of God. Everything that he says in this about me, I am. Open up your Bible. So Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 is right around the middle of your Bible. It's right before the book of Jeremiah. Isaiah was a prophet in the Old Testament. Isaiah was a beast. He's a pretty cool dude to be able to work. There's a lot of prophecies in the book of Isaiah about Jesus. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. We're talking about built to last. This is our last week with built to last. And how many of y'all know that if you're not building on the right thing, it ain't going to last? So I got an exciting word for you today. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. It says, turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. Basically saying it, all y'all. For I am God. And there is no other. Say no other. No other. No other God. All those other gods are so-called gods are demons. Those different religions, they are following deceptive demons. He says, there's no other God. By myself I have sworn, my mouth has uttered in all integrity a word that will not be revoked. Before me, every knee will bow. By me, every tongue will swear. They will say of me, in the Lord alone are deliverance and strength. Keep in mind this word here. In the Lord alone. Right now this is lowercase here, but in the Bible, if you look at your Bible, some of you guys will see it's all uppercase, L-O-R-D, right? Who has that? Let me see your hands, right? So that is more than just the word Lord. That is the word Yahweh, or many times Jehovah, the name of God. All who have raged against him will come to him and be put to shame. Now I want you to flip over your Bibles to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 6. John is in the New Testament. New Testament goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is right before the book of Acts. John chapter 14, verse 6 through 7. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me say that again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, say no one. No one. Say nobody. Nobody can come to the Father except through me. If you had really known me, you would know who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Amen. Because you see Jesus. I'm excited to be able to preach this word today. If you're taking notes, write this down. We are speaking on in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word of God that is in this place. Would you speak and do what you do best, God? Speak to your people as they are so eager to be able to hear from you. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, we welcome you here to minister to us. And right now, church, if you're hungry for the word of God, would you open up your hands and say these words after me? Say, Heavenly Father, here I am. Speak to me. I'm listening. In Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together for the word of God today. You may be seated. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus was announced to Joseph and Mary through the angels. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 says this. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. The name of Jesus is pretty simple, not to be confused with Matthew chapter 1, verse 31, which says, you shall call him Jesus. His name shall be Emmanuel, for that means God with us. Jesus means something a little bit different. Jesus, just write this down today. Jesus means Yahweh saves. If you're taking notes, how many people are taking notes in here today? Because you're not going to remember everything that I say. It's important to be able to take notes in the house of God. Jesus means Yahweh saves. Yahweh, also pronounced Yahweh, if any Hebraic scholars in here, Yahweh is the name of God in which the Jews treated so sacred that they did not even let it come out of their mouths out of reverence for God. It was closely associated with the actual act of breathing, as the words themselves express the very nature of a breath. Yahweh. Yahweh is the name of God. Yahweh is often capitalized as L-O-R-D in your Bibles. Yahweh is the name for our God. Yahweh is the one without beginning, the one without end. Yahweh is the ultimate authority, the ultimate reality, the ultimate truth. Utterly independent, yet everything is dependent upon him. Nothing compares, nor can he be improved. I am that I am, the one who was, is, and is to come. This is Yahweh. This is our God. Jesus means Yahweh saves, or Yahweh is salvation. Transliterated from Hebrew and Aramaic, the name is Yeshua. How many of y'all ever heard that word before? Yeshua. Yeshua is somewhat derived from the word Joshua. Joshua is like an Old Testament version of what we see, how he was saving Israel into the promised land. So too, Jesus is bringing us into the promised land. Jesus is Yahweh saves. There's other names for God, Yeshua being one of them, Yahweh being another. Jehovah, you may have heard it. Jehovah Jireh, that basically means the Lord is our provider. Jehovah El Shaddai, El is like a term for God. El Shaddai is God Almighty. There's different words used to describe who God is. Those are different names for the same God, not a different God, but a name to describe the same God. Just like I can be known as pastor, but also as husband, I can also be known as father, and I can be known as friend, but I am still Elishon. So too can God be all of these names and still God. Do not think that you have to appropriate God, though, by his correct name in order to get a response, to solicit a response from him. As just as a father knows the sounds of his kid's voice, can I tell you, your heavenly father knows the sound of your voice when you call out to him. Do not confuse. You could be singing out the word, you are my champion, and Christian critics could come out and say, who are you singing about? God knows your heart. Just like my kid can be yelling, Papa, or dad, and guess what? All your other kids can be yelling dad or papa, but I'm not really gonna hear it. Why? Because every parent knows they hear the sound of their child's voice. All my parents in here, do you agree with that? You know when your kid calls. It doesn't even matter if they're even saying your name. If they're just yelling, ah, guess what? Every parent knows that's my kid. Your heavenly father knows your voice. So don't get all caught up in, well, we got to make sure that we use Holy Spirit here, and we got to use Jesus here, and we got to use Jehovah Rapha here, and we got to use El Shaddai here. Don't get caught up in all that semantics. We got to use Yahweh, and we got to use Yeshua. All that stuff is just trying to put religion on something that we're called to connect and relate to God through a relationship. It's got to be an appropriate connection with God. No, it doesn't. My kid could yell dad. My kid could yell papa. My kid could yell help. And guess what? I'm still going to respond because I know my kid's voice, right? So too, your heavenly father knows your voice. He knows your heart. Now, that doesn't mean that we're assigning him different names that are outright heretical and just assigning our own names. I'm not going to have my son call me mom. I'm going to say, don't call me mom. Call me dad, right? So too, God does have a level of parameters for us to be able to refer to him by. So we see Jesus is God. Jesus is God. God the Father is not Jesus. Jesus is not the Father. The Holy Spirit is not either of them, but all of them are God. This is known as the Trinity. I want to give you an illustration just real quick on the screen to be able to define what the Trinity is. Some of y'all can pull out your phones. You can take a picture of this. The Trinity is not something that we can fathom with our human mind. So for you to be able to fathom how God can be all three in one, but not the three, but also God, that would then make you God. So this is all three in one. We see this at the baptism of Jesus. Jesus being baptized, the Holy Spirit descending, God the Father speaking. This is my beloved Son and who I am well pleased. You see, the Father is God, but he's not the Holy Spirit, and he's not the Son. The Holy Spirit is God, but it's not the Father, nor is it the Son. The Son is God, but is not the Father, and is not the Holy Spirit. This is our God, three in one. You can take that down. Jesus came to earth fully God and fully man. Now, skeptics to this doctrine of God putting on flesh hold to the apparent contradicting verse in Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. It says, God is not human that he should lie, nor a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fill? And they will say, God is not human, therefore Jesus cannot be God. Muslims would use this verse to say that God would not do something so defiling as to become a man. God is not human. Yes, do you know Muslims believe in Jesus? Muslims believe that Jesus was a good man, but they don't believe he was God. Did you know that Mormons believe that Jesus was a good man and then became God in and of himself? Do you know that Buddhists believe in Jesus? Did you know that most religions believe in Jesus, but what they do not believe is that Jesus is God? That is what separates Christianity from all other false religions, is that Jesus is God incarnate, God with us, Emmanuel, Yahweh saves. Muslims look at that and they say, well, there's no way. God is so far disconnected. There's no way that God would come down, put on flesh, and take our sin so that we could be reunited with him. That's what separates Christianity from all these other religions. And these claims, all of these are false and flies blatantly against the belief that God put on flesh, walked among us, and gave his life for us so that we could be with him. Now, there is no doubt that the physical man, Jesus, existed. Can I tell you that even the most staunch atheists believe this to be true? If you do not believe Jesus was actually a person, that he really existed, then sorry to inform you, but you are ignorant and have not done your research. Everyone believes that Jesus, the man, existed. The question is not if he existed. The question is, was he really God? This is the debate that will forever separate the saved from the unsaved, the Christian from the unbeliever. This is why we as a church must continue to pray to the Father for the veil to be lifted off of people's hearts, that they would be able to see that no one goes to the Father, no one, not even the nicest person you can think of, not even the most zealous Buddhist or compassionate atheist, not one goes to the Father except through one name, the name of Jesus, by which every knee will bow and every tongue confess. That sounds a little familiar, doesn't it? That's our opening verse. That was Yahweh talking. And now Paul makes this correlation between Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 45, to Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to jump around a little bit, guys. I'm going to need you to follow me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Therefore, God called him to the highest place. He's talking about Jesus. And gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? This is Paul explicitly saying Jesus and Yahweh are the same. They are the same God. He's making a direct correlation. Jesus himself said that he was God. Some people will go around and they'll just make these blatant statements. You know, Jesus never said he was God. Can I tell you, you have to be mindful what thoughts you agree with, what kind of accusations you agree with and don't immediately confront. And a confrontation could just be, I don't know about that. But you do have to let it out of your mouth. You going around, you're watching stuff on TikTok, YouTube, etc. I encourage you, when you come across something that comes completely against doctrine of Christianity, to let it out of your mouth. Say, I don't know about that. I don't believe about that. Because what happens is you start to entertain these things, and before you know it, you have created a God in your own image because you never took the time to actually see what the scripture says. So you can see Muslims apologists going around claiming that Jesus never said he was God. But if you just read your Bible, how many Bible readers we got in the place today? If you just read your Bible, the Bible says what Jesus, I'm just going to help you out with just a little bit here. John chapter 8, verse 58. Verily, truly, I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. What do you say about that? So Jews believe in Abraham. That's why they crucified him. They didn't crucify Jesus because he was a nice guy. They crucified him because he claimed to be God. They crucified him because they could not fathom the possibility that God could put on flesh and dwelt amongst humanity. To claim before Abraham was, I am? Can I tell you, if Jesus was crucified for claiming that he was God, don't be surprised when you get persecuted for standing on the same, very same principle. That Jesus is God. People are all fine with your Jesus. Fine with your Jesus when he's talking about, hey, loving the poor and serving the poor. And helping the sick. People are all fine with that Jesus. But when you start saying, yeah, but he's also Lord and we actually have to do what he says. Hold on a second. Don't let Jesus infringe upon my life. Well, actually, the Bible says to lay down your life, pick up your cross and follow him. Like that's what the Bible calls us to. Not our desires, not what we want to do, but what he wants for us. That's why don't be surprised when you get persecuted for the cross. Don't be surprised when you get persecuted for standing up for Jesus in your work, in your school. And politics, don't be surprised when you get sent. He was, why shouldn't we? Jesus said many things that equated himself with Yahweh. Such as, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. That's John 14:9. Another one is, I and the Father are one. John 10:30. He asked God, glorify me in your presence with the glory I had with you before the world began. John 17:5. He said, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. John 5:17. In addition, Jesus accepted worship 9 times in the gospel. Jesus forgave sins and commanded his disciples to pray in his name. Jesus never said, as other prophets did, where they went around and said, thus saith the Lord. Jesus would say, I say unto you. And he also commanded the disciples to baptize in his name. The name of Jesus is important because of its meaning and because of whom it represents. It represents Almighty God. Jesus represents Yahweh. Can I tell you that there is no power and authority in anything other than the name of Jesus? More so, with other names, we may associate the name of Jesus. We need to associate it with his distinctive character, quality, and works. His works of healing, his works of deliverance, his works of forgiveness. Can I tell you that there is healing in the name of Jesus? There is deliverance in the name of Jesus. There is forgiveness. It doesn't matter what you've done. Don't let the devil lie to you and put that shame upon you. There is forgiveness in the name of Jesus. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. You cannot go too far. If you're still breathing, you can make the choice right now to give your life over to him. This is the name of Jesus. There's salvation in the name of Jesus alone. You want to talk built to last. If you reject Jesus in this very principle, you will find that you reject the cornerstone of which everything you are building upon. As it is written, Jesus said, the stone the builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Jesus is God. And if you reject him, unfortunately, you will not see the Father. So now the question is, if he is God, what does that mean for me? Well, I can tell you, as a follower of Christ, and you make him Lord of your life by laying your life down for him. It's kind of a weird phrase. I'm going to make him the Lord of my life. But the moment you do that, you actually have to accept the fact that it's no longer your life. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. I lay down my life, pick up my cross to follow him. It's kind of a weird saying how we say make him the Lord of our lives, but I'm just sharing with the common Christian sayings of making him the Lord of your life. If you have been in that case, can I tell you, you also represent him. Not even just him in name, but him in works and in deed. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority, say authority. Say it again, say authority. In heaven and on earth has been given to me, Jesus says. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. What does he say? Who's with him? Surely who's with? I am with you. He says, surely I am with you. You're not going out as orphans. You're not being left as orphans. You're not going out on your own. I am with you. Why do you need someone else? I am with you. I am with you. If you have your Bibles and you don't think it's sacrilegious to highlight in your Bible, I love highlighting my Bible. I love writing in my Bible. Just underline that word right there. Surely I am with you. For you to be able to know who is with you in your life can help you walk in confidence, boldness, and strength even when no one else is. Who is with you? Jesus is with you. The name of Jesus is with you. You're no longer acting on your own accord, but in his authority. There is a difference between thus saith I and thus saith the Lord. If you have kids in here and you have a little child that and they have siblings and you go and they say, tell so-and-so to come upstairs. They're going to go down there and they're going to say, hey, come upstairs. And they're going to come back up and be like, they didn't listen. Tell them Papa said. Tell them Papa said. And you all know if you had brothers and sisters, they went down there and they would say, hey, Mom says to come upstairs. And you best believe you had to listen. Can I tell you it's also the same when it comes to things that are contrary to Scripture? When God is saying, in the name of Jesus, sickness flee. Oh. In the name of Jesus, there's a different type of authority that you are in a line with. Being under him and in his authority is what every Christian is called to do. Jesus teaches believers to pray in his name. That is to pray in his authority, the type of prayer that he would pray. John 14, 13 says, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. I'm talking about authority. Authority is one of those powerful things that goes beyond raw strength. You don't gotta be strong, but you do need to have the right identification. Who all in here can bench over 300 pounds? Yeah? Who can squat over 500 pounds? 400 pounds. There. All right. That's raw strength, right? How many truckers we got in here? You drive for a living. You got trucker blood in you. Got one back there. Okay, a semi-truck. I don't care if you could squat 1,000 pounds. If that semi-truck is going 60 miles an hour, you ain't going to be stopping that truck. Authority is tricky. Authority, though, once understood, can be powerful. Because you may not be able to stop a semi-truck with raw strength, but you know, all you need is just two little lights that are red and blue. Why? Because that semi-truck understands, the driver understands authority. The one with the red and blue lights understands authority. They may not be able to bench 300 pounds. They might not be able to squat 400 pounds. But tell you what, they pull behind that truck and that truck will be able to stop because of authority. So you may not have all the right things about the Bible. You may not have all the right things and the right sinlessness in your life. You may not have all the people in your corner to be able to accomplish what you feel like you need to accomplish. But I can tell you the one thing you do have is the authority of Jesus Christ in and through you. Authority. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 said, when Jesus had finished saying these things to the crowds were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. It wasn't going around saying, thus saith Pastor Eli. Can I tell you, eventually you have to make it your faith. Eventually you have to make it your belief. You can go throughout life and say, well, this podcast says this, and this believer says that, and this apologetic says this. But eventually you got to be able to conjure up the strength to say, this is what I believe, and I'm setting my life on that. You got to be able to make up your mind. When are you going to stop borrowing other people's beliefs, actually get into the Word of God and say, if this is what the Bible says, then why don't I believe it? Well, because some doctrine came out and taught against that. Yeah, but did you study the Word? Did you get in it? Now, I'm not saying every single person is a theologian in here, but every single person should study theology. Every single person should learn about God. Don't just relegate it to the latest trend or the latest movement and get caught up into that and just be like, all right, I'm just going to go wherever this takes me. How else are we going to awaken this city if we ourselves don't become a light that is different than other things? To be able to get into the Word. Now, I'm saying a lot of Christians are in the Word, but do not be led away by deceptive philosophy. When there's something that is spoken, you got to take a moment and just say, yeah, you know what? I don't believe in that. Well, the Bible says this. I know what the Word of God says. Well, cancer says it's going to take my life. Yeah, but. Oh, yeah, brother, I know what the doctor said. And I understand sickness. I've lost family members to cancer. I understand it to an extent. What I'm asking you to do, we're not always called to be responsible for the result, but we are called to be responsible for the obedience and to die in faith. You just got to read Hebrews 11 and 12, be able to see where your stance is supposed to be. Even though you don't see it happen, where are you supposed to stand? To be able to know, where am I standing? You carry the authority of the name of Jesus. That is the all-powerful God who in a moment spoke and the universe came into existence. Can I ask you, when you're walking in his authority, who's doing the work? Are you doing the work? You got to make up your mind today that it doesn't depend on if other people are praying with you. God's the one doing the work. Now, I understand there's prayer and agreement and people coming together to pray for someone. But the next time you go and pray for someone, I want you to step out in boldness as if Jesus himself was just looking for someone available to use. I want you to step out saying, you know what? I may not have the ability to heal, but you know who does? Oh, I may not have the ability to deliver, but you know who does? I may not have the ability to forgive, but you know who does? I may not have the ability to bring salvation into this home, but you know who does? I am his representative, and I carry his authority in Jesus' name. Acts chapter 19, verse 13, some Jews went out around, driving out evil spirits, tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Done are the days when we go around in the name of Jesus whom my pastor talked about. In the name of Jesus whom I heard on a podcast. The demon came and he's like, okay, Jesus I know him, Paul I know, but who are you? Guys, done are the days where we go around and not making our faith our own. To be able to step into the workplace, I am a light in the darkness. I am the salt of the earth. You step into your school, you know you're ambassador for the kingdom. You're not just a student. You're not just a football player. You're not just a basketball player. You're not just a baseball player. You're not just on the cheerleading squad. You're not just in anything else within that school. You are first and foremost a light in the darkness. And who you represent, no evil can overcome you. So I can step out with boldness and strength. I can run for office in the political field. Well, I don't know how to play politics. Jesus is with you. I'm not talking about ignorance and just stepping out. Well, Jesus, take the wheel, and you put a blindfold on. but to understand in faith and in all sincerity and all strength, God, I'm going to do all that I can do. God, I'm going to anoint people with oil. I'm going to set aside and cause and ask them questions about their past, if they need deliverance, about different types of things, they need forgiveness or healing of different types of things. God, I'm going to do all that I can do. But at the end of the day, I represent you. Guys, you represent Jesus. Don't stop the world short of all he has for him because of our lack of belief. Can I tell you, as a citizen of the United States, if you travel to different countries, there's some you might go to where you'll have a target on your back. Why? Because you represent the United States of America. And I know countless soldiers, some that are in this church and some that aren't in this church, that would risk their lives to bring a United States citizen back home because of the ideals that they represent and what they mean to the world. Can I tell you so too, as you, as a kingdom ambassador, you as a child of God, you represent the kingdom. So there will be times when you have a target on your back. But who cares? Why else would the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? You know, when I first became pastor, I had a lot of friends that would do a lot of different things in the church. So we'd do altar calls, people praying for people, people doing things like that, right? Oh, I love being able to do altar calls and praying for people. I've been trying to get this deliverance minister to come into our house. He's from Australia. When he does come, I'm excited. But I was kind of disappointed to an extent because I haven't been able to work up a time for him to get into the house. And I wanted to set up all these things to be able to, hey, guys, we're going to have a night of freedom. And I just went to the Lord. I'm like, God, doing this night of freedom, so who's going to pray for the deliverance for people? God, there's been healings in that house under that person. Who's going to do this? And you know what Jesus said? I am with you. I'm with you. Like, for you to be able to know that Jesus is with you. So guess what? We don't got no healing evangelists here. We don't got no preacher, teacher, like, going out. They didn't show up. I mean, how cool would that be? Guys, all the way from Australia, the healing evangelists. You know how your faith would be like, ah, I've been praying for this arthritis in my elbow. Let them go pray for me. Ah, no. Man, I've been struggling with this temptation. I just need one of them freedom ministers to come and pray for me. You can go to the conference. And there is a level of faith that is activated when you're at something. But I'm saying, don't wait for your faith to be activated by the vessel delivering it. Let your faith be activated by the message that is preached. So you can step out in boldness, knowing that it's not the person with the hand, but it's the person they represent. For whoever you receive in my name, not only do you receive them, but you receive him who sent them. That being, whatever you've done to the least of these, my brothers, you have done unto me. You will surely not lose your reward. Would you stand to your feet today? So I just say with that, that you may be looking for certain people to bring your freedom, healing, deliverance, restoration, whatever it may be. But I want you to activate your faith in a little bit of a different way. That I'm not looking to a person as much as I am looking to the person behind the person. Jesus is his name. His name is Jesus. It's not Pastor Eli. It's not my group leader. It's not evangelist so-and-so or healer so-and-so. I am ultimately looking through Jesus. And you too need to know that he can work through you just as much as he works through the people that you see. He's looking for you to lay hands on the sick. He's looking for you to cast out demons. He's looking for you to be able to help people receive forgiveness. Oh, interesting little concept. Whoever you forgive in my name, I also will forgive. Interesting. He's looking for you to be the light of Jesus Christ. So you can look at him and be like, yep, the minister didn't come. But you know who did? Jesus came. Jesus came, and Jesus never fails. He is always with us. So it doesn't matter who's holding a mic. It doesn't matter who's lifting us up in praise and worship to be able to lift up the praise and worship. It doesn't matter because Jesus is always with us. I can't help but think we also go around in our different places. When you go and pray for someone, let me ask you, who healed them? Jesus healed them. When you go and you're trying to cast something out, who made the demon leave? Jesus made the demon leave. When the chains broke off of your life, who broke them? His name is Jesus. There is power in his name. There is healing in his name. There is authority in his name. You can go into every place as his representative, knowing who you represent, knowing whose authority you are under. I don't want a church that goes around. I don't think Elisha was doing this. I don't think Elisha, when he took the cloak of Elijah, when he struck the ground, I don't think he was asking a question. I think he was making a statement. When he took that cloak and he threw it on the ground, and he said, "Where now is the God of Elijah?" I think that he was saying to God, creator of heaven and earth, saying, "Where is he? He's right here. He's right here." It wasn't a question. So why are you waiting? Jesus is here. His name is Jesus. His name is El Shaddai. His name is Healer. He's right here in this place. All you got to do is just reach out to him. He's real. Jesus is real. He is God. And he's calling you to represent God, to be available for him, to do something extraordinary through. How many available people do we have in the house of God today? Let me see your hands. Keep them up. 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 Lift them up. If you got two hands, you can lift up two hands. Keep both those hands up. Say these words after me. Say, "Lord, here am I. I'm available for you to do the extraordinary through. Not what I could do, but what you've already done. Use my hands, use my feet, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen." Amen. Come on, let's put our hands together. Let's sing this out with authority. Let's sing this out with conviction this morning.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If this message encouraged you, help us get the word out. Consider sharing it with a friend, rating, or subscribing. If you want to know more about our church, check out our website at mycitychurch.cc or our Instagram at mycitycentral. We look forward to sharing another encouraging word with you next week. God bless.